the thing with Batman is he can arguably win against almost anyone. But the thing is, while that is true, it is also true that he can lose to at least half those people, if not one third of those people, at least once. Because just because he loses against someone, let's say he gets beaten by Superman. At their first battle, he then gets all this information from that initial battle and then comes back all prepared. That's his thing, his prep time, that's his win con. So he can lose to someone, but he can definitely win against them sometime,
as long as meron ng first encounter. But without research, without prep time, he's basically a guy who can do martial arts.
The thing with Batman fans' logic is that yung preparation time na lagi siya sabi. I mean, arguably, you can say that to almost every fictional character, di ba? Bakit? Di ba sila pwede mag-prepare?
That argument was also presented that technically everyone can prepare. However, the big difference with everyone else preparing compared to Batman preparing is they don't have the resource to back up that preparation.
Yeah.
Let's say I'm preparing to battle Superman. Do I have the resource to do so? I'm still gonna get beaten to a pulp.
So the mere fact that he can actually get his hands on kryptonite, diba? Which is actually rare. Hindi naman parang abundant yung resource for kryptonite. So the mere fact that he can afford those and get those, kumbaga, he can even modify them and put them into powder.
While everyone can prepare, it's not like they have the resource to back up that preparation. Mm-hmm. Batman can.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, good evening and welcome to another episode of Tagapasig Podcast. My name is Anjo.
And this is Ken.
And happy Easter Sunday. So, kamusta everyone? Today is the day that Jesus resurrected. And speaking of resurrection, just like Superman did in this movie, we are here tonight to talk about again Zack Snyder's Justice League. You guys might be confused kasi we already posted a review of the Snyder Cut, but this time will be much more comprehensive because we have a fresh set of voice and opinion because we have here tonight Mr. Sherwin Tan. So please introduce yourself.
Hey, so I'm Sherwin. Thanks for having me. You guys can call me Stan or whatever you want.
Stan. No.
So Stan, okay. Stan's a nickname I got from work.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, I like that too because, you know, Stanley.
It's actually pretty smart knowing that they just somehow, you know, use the first letter of your name and then your last name. That's smart, really.
Yeah. Honestly, it's, yeah. I was a little forced into that. No, not necessarily forced, but someone got the idea because at the time, I had to basically battle for my name because there was another Sherwin in the office. So that's where my nickname Stan came from. The hobbies that I have, or at least the hobbies that I had, was I used to play League of Legends a lot until my laptop sort of started deteriorating.
Okay.
And before the pandemic started, I also frequented with playing card games against other players. Although right now I'm very much looking to just drop the game entirely because reasons.
Okay.
Right now during the pandemic, I've mostly just been catching up on shows like Netflix, Amazon Prime, anime, things like that.
Okay.
So yeah. Oh, I've been also meaning to catch up on some of the comics I've missed out in the recent times.
Any specific anime that you watch?
The last one I watched, well, today I just watched the final episode of Horimiya.
Mm-hmm.
Although I felt it was a little bit misleading in the first few episodes. But overall, it's a nice, wholesome anime.
Okay.
What is it about, by the way? Can you share some of its basic storyline or premise?
Well, initially, when I watched the series, I thought it was about this lonely, potentially depressed male student who encounters this almost exact opposite female classmate. And then they somehow make each other better despite their differences. And then they just somehow connect and then they get into a relationship. The process of that happening is the one that hooked me because it felt different while I was watching it. It didn't feel something common among the other series I've watched. But then after those initial episodes, the series started feeling different. It started feeling primarily wholesome rather than focus on the two characters.
Okay.
So yeah.
I think there's a term for anime fans, right?
Yeah, two terms. The first term was otaku, mm-hmm. and then it was kind of overruled with weeb. The term weeb was originally somewhat of an insult, yeah. and then at some point, 1 second later, it's everyone's now shouting to the world that they're weebs. Like what?
But so, yeah. If you're going to explain to our listeners, ano bang difference nila?
Well, otakus by definition is an enthusiast. It's not necessarily connected to an anime fan. You can be like a bike otaku, a gun otaku. Otaku means an enthusiast, basically. While weeb is
straight up anime.
Yeah, not entirely. It is strongly related to anime. So weeb, originating from the term weeaboo, is primarily someone who just focuses on the pop culture of Japan and not much else.
You know what reminds me of the word weeb, if you're familiar with Filthy Frank?
Yes.
Yeah, his video about weeaboos. It's like 5 years ago. But anyways, yeah.
But anyway, in this episode, we're going to talk about the Snyder Cut. So just like you mentioned, Francis, what we actually did on the first one that we uploaded was mostly a reaction. But this time we're going to dive into it and discuss some of its, you know, some of its characters, storyline, possibilities and theories that, you know, the things that we want to see. Anyway, let's get started. So since you saw the Justice League version of 2017, anong masasabi mo ngayon? Or anong na-expect mo with the recent one that we just saw this year?
Impression or the expectation that I had after, or rather before I watched Snyder's Cut. I actually prepared for it and I rewatched Whedon's Cut, the Justice League 2017. Mm-hmm. I was expecting a potential different storyline, at least somewhere at the end. Like it would alter a bit. Because it's directed by someone else, so it could happen. Not just simple added content to the film. And of course, I was also hoping to see that they would have removed some unnecessary scenes. Because I remember seeing this random family in Whedon's Cut, where for some reason the film just felt the need to showcase what this random family was experiencing while Batman, Flash, Wonder Woman, and the others were dealing with Steppenwolf. That felt kind of out of place. So I was hoping to see it being removed.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, because of some of the discussions I had with my friends, I was also expecting plenty of backstories from some of the characters in the film, which did happen.
What flashbacks do you like the most?
Most of the backstory that we see was actually Cyborg's, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Which, the backstories were good. They were good on its own, which was the problem, because this is a film about Justice League. It's not a film about Cyborg. The films, the scenes that we see that gave background to Cyborg, those would have been perfect for a standalone Cyborg Origins film. They showed too much of those in the Justice League film. I mean, it was nice that they gave us more background for Cyborg, but they showed way too much, in my opinion.
Okay. What about you, Francis? What can you say about that?
Well, before we continue, should we... Ito kasi ang confusing dyan eh. Kasi should we move forward with the review looking at the Snyder Cut as a standalone film, or should we review it knowing na merong trash fire version ng 2017? Kasi sa reviews na nakita ko, not only on YouTube, on Facebook, or even Twitter, most of the good things that I hear about the Snyder Cut is mostly just them comparing it to the 2017 version, right?
Yeah.
So, ako, in my own opinion, I think if hindi nag-exist yung 2017 film, I wouldn't recommend this. No, especially knowing na 4 hours siya, I wouldn't recommend this to anyone, promise. But since, yun nga, meron tayong 2017 version na sobrang, I mean, less than mediocre, yeah, I would recommend it. But yeah, meron kasing dalawang perspective na pwede natin tignan eh. Yun nga. Sa mga next na sasabihin mo, can you pretend like the 2017 didn't happen? The 2017 version didn't happen? Magbabago ba ang opinion mo sa movie na to? What do you think?
I think Sherwin can answer this first.
Well, when I watched the film, I was nitpicking it as a standalone film. while having background knowledge of the 2017 film. But having that background knowledge of the 2017 film didn't necessarily change much of my opinion to the Snyder Cut, because the things that I didn't like in Snyder's cut didn't concern the Whedon cut.
Well, actually, nagigets ko naman yung point mo that you wouldn't recommend it knowing that it's 4 hours. But kasi like the way you say it, the way you said it, it's like if we're going to pretend that 2017 didn't exist, definitely we're going to compare the movie that we saw this year to other movies that we've seen in the past few years in terms of this genre, diba? It is definitely better than 2017, pero in terms of standalone talaga, like without the other one, it's mediocre.
Yeah, and I think we've said this before on the initial reaction, pero the only the only major thing you can complain about this movie is its length. I think the film doesn't justify that it's 4 hours long, right? I mean, at best, it could be 3 hours. Kasi, for example, spoiler, pero yung scene ni Aquaman when he's about to bounce, when he met Bruce, mm-hmm. he took off his shirt and then merong like lady who picked up his shirt and then they started singing.
That was weird.
Yeah.
That was weird. Right?
Like right. A fucking cult. Then,
there's this one horny lady picked up his sweater and then bigla niyang inamoy. Then they were singing in the background. I mean, really, pwedeng mawala yun, di ba? Pwedeng mawala yung scene na yun eh. No, wouldn't change it.
There was actually a reason behind that scene, which to me wasn't a good enough reason, honestly. So the reason why that weird singing scene came about in Snyder's cut was because Snyder, for some reason, wanted to make the film feel like there was this upcoming epic mystical battle which was supposed to be the Steppenwolf / Darkseid. So you would notice throughout at least half the film, there would be scenes where that weird mystical background song would have just been playing out of place. Like the first appearance that Wonder Woman makes in the film, you would hear some mystical song being played. Then that song that the local was singing as Aquaman was leaving, that it was used there as well, and a few others that I can't really remember, but all felt weird and out of place. It was all to make the audience feel that there's this impending mystical epic shit that was about to go down.
Yeah, so it's trying to build up something. Pero na mention mo nga yung kay Wonder Woman, right? Yun nga rin yung una ko napansin. Yeah. Nung una, it was okay, vocals, kind of cool, but like I said, this movie doesn't justify itself for being this long. The scene where Amy Adams met with Martian Manhunter, I don't think that was necessary.
Lois.
Yeah, Lois Lane. I'm sorry.
Oh, all right.
The reveal of Martian Manhunter was very weak. Lalo na considering yung tone nung scene with Martha and Lois, diba? They were consoling each other with Clark's death, diba? And then biglang all of the sudden re-reveal nila that hindi pala si Martha yung kausap niya. It was, why?
Yeah.
Hindi ko gets.
In my opinion, the reveal, while I agree with you that it didn't really feel right due to the tone, but I feel like the approach that they were going was for setting up, because Justice League is commonly known as being founded by 7 members.
So I guess
they wanted to somehow showcase that John Jones, Martian Manhunter, was that 7th member. It's just he just wasn't very prominent in the film because he was incognito as Lieutenant General, what's his name? Calvin Swanwick.
It's just really weird that they're going to show him and not include him on the actual fight. You know, like, yeah. I don't know what's the point of that. They're going to show him in a few scenes and then, you know.
It was probably their way of trying to set up or build up for future films, which could have been handled much better. Like,
yeah,
do a short reveal on the end, like how those extra scenes in Marvel films do it.
Mm, yeah, I think that's much better because he's not included on the actual fight, so
yeah, naging less impactful tuloy yung scene niya with Bruce at the end, diba? I think if hindi included yung reveal ni Martian Manhunter, mas magiging more impactful yung appearance niya sa dulo.
Yeah, I mean, like, just imagine that reveal in the Lois scene not happening at all. And then at that scene where Bruce and Martian Manhunter first talk, like, what if John Jones appeared in front of the doorstep, conversation with Bruce, and then later reveals himself as the alien Martian Manhunter? Then that would have been more impacting. And that would have been a bit more surprising for unsuspecting audience.
Or not even Lieutenant General. It could be anyone more impactful, like Martha or Lois, they were right? Could be anyone.
Yeah.
Because they just did it twice, and then it's just weird that knowing that that scene happened first, and then the fight comes in, and he's not even there. You know, there are other heroes, existing in the same universe, in the same setting, same storyline, and yet, you know, somehow they didn't care that the world is ending. Suddenly, they didn't show up. Is it because explosions? He's afraid of fire.
The door to door, basically.
Door to door. Yeah.
This is why, while I was watching Snyder's cut after having freshly rewatched the Whedon's cut, I couldn't really convince myself that Snyder's cut was necessarily better, or at least that it was significantly better than the old film. Because the way I see it, if you took out the unnecessary scenes in Snyder's cut, like the way it was in Whedon's cut, and included the necessary scenes that added better content, better context, it would have been a much better Justice League film. Like, basically merge those two films together, get rid of all the trash, would have been better.
In the 2017 version, you can actually taste a bit of Avengers in it, like yung mga jokes ni Flash, yung one-liner ni Bruce about saying that something's really broken. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, that really hurts or something. And that really, thrown out by Superman.
He said something's definitely broken. I mean, it's sobrang out of character, but you can really tell that it's made by someone different, like Joss Whedon. Kasi yun yung mga one-liners of Avengers.
Yeah, Snyder's take in films generally has this darker and grittier feel. I mean, it's not necessarily bad though.
But is it safe to say that he knows better, or at least in terms of DC comics, he's much more, you know, he's much more oriented or more knowledgeable than Whedon?
I can't say, because I'm not too well versed in DC particularly, because I mean I like both Marvel and DC, because I kind of lean more on Marvel than DC. But yeah, I like both, so I can't necessarily say a lot about DC. I mean, I only recently found out from a friend that comparing DC and Marvel excels a little bit more in making the heroes relatable to the readers, while DC making their heroes also relatable to the readers, at least some of them, or a lot of them. They also do so with their villains. That's a notable difference, apparently. So yeah, I didn't know that, so I can't necessarily voice a lot of opinions about DC.
If there are any scenes that you think was unnecessary or really unnecessary for you, what would it be?
The emphasis on Flash on multiple scenes. These aren't unnecessary for me. These were actually nice. But one of those scenes felt kind of off for me, which was the Iris scene. Mm. Now I'm not sure if you're aware, but the girl that he meets, the girl that he saves from that car accident, was Iris West. Now it was a nice thing that DC included Iris West as a build-up, as a setup for the upcoming Flash film that was supposed to happen, that will happen. I'm not sure right now if it's still up there. But yeah, so now while I appreciate their introduction of Iris in the cinematic verse, I did not really like how they handled the scene, because if you think about it, while Barry did save his future wife, he felt a little creepy, honestly.
It is.
I mean the girl is floating mid-air, basically stopped in time, and you're just staring at her face and even picked up a hot dog. I mean I'm not gonna lie, I would have probably picked up a hot dog if I were in Barry's shoe as well, but
yeah,
maybe a few more, but The point being, he was just staring at some random girl who was about to die mid-air, all creepy like. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that could have been handled better. They could have made him seem less creepy. And then yeah, so there were, as I mentioned earlier, there were multiple nudges towards Flashpoint. No, wait, did I mention that earlier?
I'm not exactly sure, but I think some of the scenes are basically trying to tell that there is a possibility.
Yeah, like the scenes he had with his father. It was, some of those scenes were a nudge towards Flashpoint because there were some implications of like going back through time, redoing things. It was a clear nudge towards Flashpoint, and getting into that, I don't think it's a smart move for DC to go with making a Flash movie about the Flashpoint. I mean, the DC event Flashpoint is a good story. It's a great story. But to take that into the big screens as a big film, personally, I don't think it's a good idea. Especially when the current cinematic universe isn't necessarily screaming to the world that you have to kill us. Mm-hmm. Because the Flashpoint is a perfect excuse for a reset button.
Mm. It is.
Using it too soon when you don't need to do a reboot for the cinematic universe is a terrible idea. That's just asking to sink your own boat.
Yeah, speaking of Flash, did you guys hear about the theory that Ezra Miller's character is not actually Flash but Impulse? Did you guys hear about that?
What?
Oh, that's new to me.
Yeah, because character-wise, in the comics, Barry is really different from Barry here in the Snyder or in the Justice.
Okay, so that's why. Okay.
Yeah, he's much more fidgety, like makulit, diba? But in the comics, it's not like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So while I can see where people are getting, I can kind of explain why Barry is so in this film, while at the same time entertain the theory that it's Impulse. So ever since Barry Allen came back to the land of the living, for some reason, DC has been sidelining Wally West. And while doing so, they've incorporated his liveliness, his humor, and a few other traits of the character into Barry Allen. Now, I'm not really sure why. Maybe because a lot of the audience or readers were more accustomed to Wally West. Maybe they liked Wally West more. I mean, I'm personally a Wally West over Barry Allen myself.
I think it's mostly because of the Justice League animated series, right?
Yeah. Because a lot of the viewers grew up with Wally West ever since Barry Allen sacrificed himself to save the multiverse. So what's been happening is, like, even in the current comics right now, you would see that Barry is a bit more humorous and displaying a little bit of Wally West aspects than he normally did in the classic years. So Barry Allen in the Justice League film, both Whedon and Snyder Cut, being a bit more fidgety, more quippy, a bit more awkward, what he is that we see, it could have been a result to that. However, I do agree that there is a possibility that it is Bart Allen Impulse, because he is even as a combination of Wally and Barry. There was never a Barry Allen in both comics or animated film that I've seen that was just as fidgety and as awkward as that Barry Allen. Admittedly, yeah.
I'm just curious. Is there a huge difference between the black Wally West and the white Wally West?
They're completely different characters. Like, it's not just a simple change of race. Or whatever people may think. In the comics, they've actually encountered each other already.
Oh,
and
they did.
I'm not necessarily a big fan of the newer Wally West. I mean, I don't dislike him. It's just that I just haven't grown too fond of him yet. I'm still OG Wally West as of now.
Okay.
But the difference would be, well, for one thing, is their age. Wally West is already an adult, while the newer Wally West is much younger. The older Wally West is a lot more efficient in handling the Speed Force, the super speed. The newer Wally West is still figuring things out. They're completely different characters.
Mm.
Backstory alone tells you that.
But I'm just confused. Like, do they belong on the same Earth? Are they, coming from a different Earth? Like, how come they're both called Wally West if they're different characters?
Yeah, it does. Because the new Wally West was introduced to the readers post New 52. New 52 was what people called DC Comics after the Flashpoint, as I said, was a big reset button.
Yeah.
This was what DC decided to do after they thought that there's too much things, unnecessary things that we want to or need to get rid of in the current comics. So we're just going to push this big reset button and then scrap all sorts of background and just redo things. So this is the result of that. So Wally West, the original Wally West, was basically scrapped. He disappeared, actually. Like, he literally disappeared.
Literally? Okay.
No. He wasn't killed. He wasn't benched on the sideline or anything. He literally disappeared. Which was explained later. Like maybe 2 years later. Like, our time, 2 years.
Okay.
And then Wally West was introduced as this African-American young adult guy figuring things out and just had this completely different backstory as the original Wally West. So several changes were made. So the new 52 created an entirely new timeline for, well, the new 52. And then at the same time, it basically just erased everything pre-new 52. So the timelines and the universes that existed before the Flashpoint, those didn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. Up until DC felt like, okay, you know what? I think maybe, the readers don't like this new 52 approach we're doing right now. So I think maybe we should consider bringing some of them back, or just bringing everybody all together again. Maybe, you know, I think maybe somewhere along the lines, we might have fucked up.
Okay.
Which was honestly the case.
Yeah.
So later on, everything did come back. So the original Wally West eventually came back into the comics. That's why he managed to meet the new Wally West. So there was like a bunch of, I don't know, honestly, I don't even know what DC is doing. Honestly, I mean, there's this other thing currently that's on my mind. That's just, yeah. I mean, it's not on the topic right now, and it's just making me think that DC doesn't know what they're doing right now. Honestly, it's just.
But actually, there's one more thing before we, you know, before we go back to the topic. There's one more thing that I just remembered. So when you say a reset button, right? Because you mentioned that doing the Flashpoint is just too early, too soon, and you know, they should have at least, you know, used this as a secret weapon if ever that they wanted to reset things up. It's their way to reset everything. But then I remember what they what happened with, you know, with X-Men Days of the Future Past, right? It's like redoing the X-Men franchise when the first three films were kind of off, or at least trash to some people, and even to me. So it's their way of resetting the whole franchise, and you know, people still didn't like the Dark Phoenix. But I'm not sure if you've seen that.
Oh no, I completely skipped that. Honestly, the idea of creating one film to cover an entire saga that is Dark Phoenix. No, I'm not entertaining that. not in this day and age. If you give me like a trilogy. Sure, one film. No. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, you can't really blame them if they didn't necessarily like how the first X-Men trilogy went. I mean, superhero films back then were still kind of figuring itself out how to do things better, properly, and whatnot. So you can't blame them if they felt the need to do a reset to standardize things and maybe modernize it a bit, though.
What about you, Francis? Do you have anything to add?
It was fresh back in the day. It wasn't a genre, superhero movies back then, other than Blade, I think. Pero yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Blade's a cool character, though.
Wait, I think they just casted the person. Like, I think he was the villain from Luke Cage. Netflix series?
I can't remember, but that news does sound a little familiar. I think there's a new Blade movie coming.
So you mentioned that you have some of the scenes that you'd like to point out. Maybe you have more that maybe we didn't notice or we haven't noticed yet.
All right, so I'll try to skim through this as quickly as I could. So let's see. So we've discussed some of the scenes with the Flash in it. Another that I really didn't like the dock scene with Aquaman, where he he was just standing on the docks waiting for the waves to crash at him, right?
Oh, now, okay, that was
really weird. That was just eating up time unnecessarily. Now in Whedon's cut, they did that scene better, but at the same time it's still unnecessary. And then let's see, the scene with Steppenwolf against the Amazonians when he was trying to get the mother box, they had a weird battle cry where they said, "Show them your fear," and then the rest responded,
"We
have no fear." Like, yeah. Why would that be your battle cry? And what sense does that even make? Why would you even? It's just, yeah. It's just. I didn't like it.
I don't even know if it's actually in the comics or they're just trying to show off Steppenwolf, or I don't know, trying to tell him something.
It would have been better if they didn't have that at all, honestly. And then the mother box that Amazonian tied to the arrow and then shot the arrow and somehow flew the box all the way God knows where. Like, how does that even work? I mean, it's a big ass box. How would that arrow carry it like that? Like, where's the physics in that? I did like that they replaced Steppenwolf with Darkseid in the story scene that showcase the past, like 5,000 years ago, where we see the old gods like Zeus, who else?
Ares,
and that one female god. Artemis. I can't remember her name. Artemis. There we go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was honestly a nice change. It felt appropriate. Another thing that felt really weird was the aspect ratio of the film. Super weird. So apparently it was explained to me that for some reason Snyder wanted to give the film like this old classic vibe, which I don't know why. I don't know why, but he just wanted to, which could have been done so much better, honestly. Like, they could have just changed the color tone of the scenes to imply that classic feel vibe thing. So yeah, that was mishandled for me.
I think they mentioned that they did a black and white version of the Snyder Cut, although I'm not sure if it's official.
That would have been better if they did that instead, like at least black and white scene
for 4 hours.
Oh, that would have been terrible. Yeah. And then the scene where Martian Manhunter talks to Bruce Wayne, it just felt weird for me that he introduced himself as, "Some call me Martian Manhunter." Like, why not just introduce yourself as who you are, John Jones? That was weird to me. It felt forced.
Yeah,
for fans.
And then, looking back, with regarding to the names, I really liked how the TV series Smallville handled Easter eggs. Like, they never dropped the superhero names at all. They never dropped the Superman costume until the very last end. They never did that. Like, they made the audience want it. They knew what they were doing. Yeah. This, no, they did not. They just, here you go, Martian Manhunter. We mentioned this earlier, the weird mystical background song. And another is they had way too many slow-mo scenes.
Oh yeah.
It felt like Snyder just encountered this new cool transition that you can find when you're doing a PowerPoint presentation, and he kept using it over and over. That's how it felt. And then,
are they all Flash scenes, or some of them are no longer involved with Flash?
It was, the slow-mos were used to emphasize and be more dramatic. Oh. It wasn't even about Flash. It was just overly used.
Mm.
And then Steppenwolf design change was good, but it felt way too much like Marvel's The Destroyer for me. And lastly, this isn't a bad scene, just something that I want to point out. Wonder Woman to Aquaman, there was a scene where Wonder Woman tells Aquaman, an Amazonian working with an Atlantean, and that she questioned, "For how long has it been since they've something?"
Yeah,
I like that that bit, because it was a nudge towards how the origin of both Amazons and Atlanteans had this they had this blood with each other, dispute against each other, and that it's also another nudge towards Flashpoint, because in Flashpoint that is a huge factor.
Fell in love.
I think you'll like your point even more, considering that in the 2017 version, Aquaman and Wonder Woman didn't have any conversation together or any interaction other than that awkward scene where Aquaman sat on his lasso, on her lasso. Yeah.
They took that out though. Which I guess not very surprising, considering it's a Snyder's cut.
Mm. Well, speaking of unnecessary scenes, I'm surprised you didn't mention like Steppenwolf like updating his boss about the mother boxes. Like, I think he did that times.
I didn't mention that because I liked it. Maybe they did it a little too much, a little bit. But generally, I liked it because it gave Steppenwolf a more background. So it gave more depth to the character.
I think that was really distinct compared to the first Avengers where, you know, we saw Loki as the main villain, but we only get to see the real person behind it at the end of the credits scene, right? In contrast to Snyder's cut, when we see, you know, Darkseid showing us his flashbacks and, you know, him being involved in the final scene when they cut his head off, or, you know, when Steppenwolf was killed, right? So they're basically showing that there's someone more powerful than him.
Yeah, but in Marvel that works better because Loki is already an established big villain, whereas Steppenwolf, mention Steppenwolf to an average comic book fan, I bet you a month's worth of salary he doesn't know who Steppenwolf is. Unless he watched the film.
Yeah. I gotta admit, kahit ako hindi ko siya kilala. Like, who the fuck is this? You know, like, I was expecting Darkseid because I've seen the animation film. You know, when they introduced Darkseid along with Shazam and Green Lantern. But in this movie, you know, who the fuck is Steppenwolf and why does it look like that? If you're going to compare the design between the 2017 and the version that we've seen this year, ano mas gusto mo?
I guess the Snyder cut version. But each time I look at it, I just can't help but remember the Destroyer for Marvel.
Well, yeah, design wise, right? I can't say for myself that it's a better design for Steppenwolf. I mean, generally the movie feels like colorless, right? I think yun yung gusto ko yung point out that it could have used more color. Kasi medyo grayish, medyo bland yung color. But yeah, I guess they were going for that gritty tone or dark tone. So it works.
Yeah, the recent DC films has always been going for that. Except for Shazam.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Kasi, diba, in the future, they're about to integrate Shazam into the Justice League, right? So considering the Shazam movie was a bit more... lighthearted.
I have no idea how they're gonna handle that. That's gonna feel so mixed.
Yeah,
I think he's the only is going to be the only colorful guy all of a sudden. But
yeah,
you know what? Now that I think about it, I think if you're going to ask me, or if someone's going to ask me, who's going to be my favorite character in DCEU in the entire film, it's going to be Shazam. For me, he's more wholesome than anybody else. You know, like talagang. Alam mo yun, like he has a version as a kid, and then when he turns it into an adult, ewan ko, like maybe it's the acting skills of the character, but I think it'll be much more better if he was involved in the Justice League. But I don't know if it's going to be out of place. I really don't know how it's going to be.
It would give a different perspective because like there's this world level crisis that everyone's dealing and they're all adults. And then we have this kid in an adult's body with godlike powers. And then we get to see his perspective of the matter. To me, that's an interesting, that would have been an interesting thing to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just can't see them pulling off the mix of tones. It's just like there's too much dark, gritty seriousness. On one side, majority of the side for that matter. And then we have Shazam, who's all shits and giggles.
Yeah, complete opposite, right?
Nakita niyo na ba yung meme that's circulating on Twitter about, yeah, the Rock, there's a side-by-side picture comparison of The Rock, like, after the gym, because he's Black Adam, right? And then
yeah.
The other picture, like, the cast, the orphan kids, and the caption is like, this guy is about to beat
him. Oh, yeah, it's going to trash. It's going to trash on those kids. Ano naman yung mga scenes na gusto mo makita or you were at least hoping to see?
Being a Flash fan, I primarily just wanted them to do justice on Flash scenes, which they did. They showcased it with showing how important his role is as a speedster and how he saved the planet, actually, with when he reversed time. They did justice on him, at least in Snyder's Cut. And I was happy with that.
With the next question that we have, what do you think naman dun sa Joker scene?
The Joker scene, it had that extra scene feel to it, right? Because it wasn't necessarily part of the film. So if we consider it as an extra scene, you then have to compare it to other existing extra films from other superhero films, right? Now, if you do that, what did those other extra films bring to the table? It gave the audience things to look forward to. Like, it gave them an idea on what to anticipate for the succeeding films, whether it's going to be another Justice League film or in the next Superman film, Batman film. It's something for them to look forward to. But this Joker scene, while it did give us an idea that maybe in the next Justice League film, they'll cater to this dark future, it also felt like the extra scene didn't know what they were doing because there was too much context in it. There was too much talking. It didn't really feel like it was giving the audience like that piece of nugget on the end of the stick. No, sorry, that's how the saying goes. Like a carrot on the stick. Because how extra scenes normally work is like it's very short, right?
Well, for me, it's basically fan service. A huge fan service. Yun lang talaga yan. Well, yeah, ang kalat talaga ng scene. Well, first of all, a pinaka na notice ko is that the conversation between Batman and Joker, they were filmed separately. Ang obvious halata. Like how their scenes transitions. Halata mo nga eh. Yeah, they were filmed separately. And one thing I noticed too is Mira's accent. Bigla nag-iba. Suddenly, she had an accent. Bakit ganun, diba? Joker-wise, I didn't like this one. I didn't like this one really. Like, because it was all over the place. It felt like it was a mix of every actor who played the Joker before. There were hints of Mark Hamill. It feels like ginagaya niya yung mga Joker actors before. Heath Ledger, like yung kay
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix especially, right? Heath Ledger, Joaquin Phoenix, even the Cesar Romero one. Yun. It feels like ang dami niyang ginagaya. It feels like he was trying hard. Yun lang, para sa akin. But yeah, huge fan service that scene. But I guess you can argue that this whole movie is a fan service, huge fan service.
Mm-hmm. To me, it just tells me that DC doesn't know what they're doing, honestly.
I think it's going to confuse some viewers, especially in some among non-DC fans or people who have no idea about other timelines or story arcs. You know, those people who only know the basics, the characters and all, they're just going to get confused because before nila pinakita yung scene na yun, di ba? Like, if we can remember, they have a scene between Luther and... That's true.
Yeah.
Trying to do some scheme or any plan that they're trying to do, and then all of a sudden Deathstroke is with Batman, you know, teaming up with him against Superman. So it's just going to confuse some other people. Like, how come they're working together now? All of a sudden, like, how did this happen? What transition between this event and that event? Is it even real? And then all of a sudden, they're just gonna say, "Oh, it's just a nightmare."
Yeah, I agree. You know how DC and Marvel over the decades they've been constantly somewhat copying each other from time to time. Mostly Marvel,
mm-hmm.
But DC has its share of copying things from Marvel as well. Now, I don't think that was a very smart move for them to do when it comes to the movies, because Marvel is very established. I mean, they're not perfect, especially for hardcore movie enthusiasts. It's not perfect, but they're very well established and they're going very strong. Now, DC, what they're trying to do is they're trying to compete with that. They're trying to go beyond and basically just catching up. But the problem with that is if they're chasing someone, that means they're behind this someone, which is Marvel. So for as long as you're chasing this person, you're trying to do what they're doing, the likelihood that you're going to be outperforming them is pretty slim, especially with their current track record. They need to stop chasing and copying Marvel films and just do their own thing.
Will you recommend this to your friends or someone who hasn't seen it yet? Is it recommended? Is it worth it? What do you think?
Snyder Cut. I wouldn't I wouldn't recommend it, but neither will I discourage people from watching it. Like, I wouldn't bring it up out of the blue, telling people to watch it. Like, maybe if people says, hey, what do you think of the film? Should I watch it? I wouldn't tell them not to. That's for sure. But at the same time, I feel like they should have at least watched Whedon's cut to have reference to the original so that they can appreciate some of the good things in Snyder's cut. Because admittedly, despite the film being way too long, they did have things that helped improve the film. For instance, in Whedon's cut, the scene where Cyborg was piloting or driving the Nightcrawler, Batman's vehicle, mm-hmm. the thing with the four legs, he suddenly up and left when he realized that a certain item that his dad kept was probably the mother box. He just suddenly realized it, but we didn't have any context like, why did you suddenly realize this? Where are you getting this? Because of the added context in Cyborg's share of scenes, we find out that the mother box was kept in their apartment, in their closet, actually. Whatever reason that the Cyborg was, I guess, looking into, later on he realized while piloting the Nightcrawler that the mother box was probably that very same item. Having those two scenes, it helped justify Cyborg suddenly getting the box. Now, the problem is, in Snyder's cut, while they had the scene to justify Cyborg picking up the box upon realizing it, they took out the scene that he realized that very item was the mother box. So then it became senseless for them to include the scene showcasing that they had the mother box.
Just didn't add up.
Yeah, that's why it would have been better if they like merged some of the goods and some of the good scenes in Whedon's cut and some of the good scenes in Snyder's cut together.
I think they didn't do justice when it comes to Superman. I felt like I really wouldn't call it a Justice League film, considering the fact that Superman was only there for like less than a third of the film.
Just to save the day.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess whatever. And I think dun sa sinabi ko kasi kanina na I did mention it was a huge fan service, this film. I think it's fair to say that it is a fan service because this movie was made because of the fans, right? That's one thing that you can you can commend from this Snyder Cut. Kasi yung movement, like three from 2017 up to now, the push of the fans was really inspiring.
And now that you mentioned it, no, are they basically just showing everyone or every viewer that the Justice League is useless without Superman? Because it's about like the way they handled Steppenwolf. Steppenwolf pa nga lang pinag-usapan natin, like we're not even talking about Darkseid. So the mere fact that they needed Superman to save everyone.
But kahit naman outside the Snyder Cut, even in the comics or even in the animated movies, mm-hmm. Yung power scale nila is ganun talaga. Superman is way ahead in terms of strength, in terms of power, compared to the other Justice League members.
The only time that someone like Batman can handle himself well against Darkseid is prep time. Because at some point in the comics, Batman devises this new battle suit that can totally level against the entire Justice League. He used this same battle suit to go up against Darkseid, and mm-hmm. he was doing well. So for me, it's an accurate depiction of how they would fare against Steppenwolf or Darkseid as a newly formed team. But it doesn't necessarily mean that will always be the case.
Yeah, I think the one you mentioned where Batman went head-to-head with Darkseid was in Superman Batman Apocalypse, the animated movie, right?
No. I think there was another one. Batman was wearing this huge white battle suit. The film that you're talking about, I don't remember him wearing a battle suit against Darkseid. Like, I think he outwitted him or something. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. He told Darkseid that Apocalypse was like, he planted a bomb in Apocalypse, something like that, if he killed him.
Well, here's the thing. I started reading DC Comics siguro last year lang, and I even skipped. So, diba, like, if we're going to talk about comics, there's a lot of comics to read, lots of issues and lots of, you know, iba't ibang, I guess, Earth or whatever. So, nag-start ako dun sa storyline ng this event in Green Lantern. I think I mentioned this to you. Batman on that particular story arc is already dead. Sa pagkakaalam ko, he was killed by Darkseid when with his Omega Beam. Parang meron ata siyang nagawang gun like a special kind of gun that can kill or disable Darkseid?
It was the bullet that was.
Oh, okay.
There was this virus that could eliminate Darkseid, and I can't remember the entire story behind it. It's just.
Kumbaga, dami ng build up na nangyari before that particular event. But anyway, na mention ko lang kasi that was the only event na parang nautakan niya si ano, si Darkseid before he got killed. Which good news dahil syempre and when it comes to comics, no one really stays dead. So apparently, while his
except
physical
for Uncle Ben.
Except for Uncle Ben. When he allegedly got killed, turns out his consciousness went back in time to live the ancestors of the Wayne family. And apparently he was being chased or being tracked down by Booster Gold and Orion. Like somehow they teamed up together trying to bring back Bruce Wayne into the current timeline, which is actually amazing. But that's another topic that I'd like to discuss some other time. It's a completely different topic, but it's a really adventure between those two. Is there any particular event in the DC universe or storyline that you'd like to see on the big screen?
Well, meron kasing animated film ng The Killing Joke. But yeah, The Killing Joke would be nice. And
that's a good choice.
Yeah, the death of the family. Yun, two of those. The family and The Killing Joke.
Well, what about you, Sherwin?
It's actually pretty close to Francis's answer. My first film that will always pop in my head when asked that question will always be Batman Under the Red Hood.
Okay.
Among the Batman family, Jason Todd is my boy. I'm a fan of the Red Hood. It's just, I'm not sure why people just don't get it. It's just, I like his approach when it comes to bringing down justice or, you know, just taking down criminals. It just makes sense to me. Kind of like how Punisher does it. Like, you take down bad guys, you arrest them, they escape, they hurt more people. Yeah, right? So why not just take them out altogether? Why not just end them and then they stop hurting people, right? I mean, so what? You get blood on your hands, you become a criminal yourself, but you're at least getting rid of the world of like the nasties, right? And then Batman would argue, if you kill a killer,
you make 10 more, right? Like that, something like that.
Like you remove one killer from the world, it doesn't make it any less because you replace that killer. That logic does make sense, however, not entirely, because say you remove like 100 killers, then it goes down by at least 99, right? It's not 1:1. So, you know, to me, Jason Todd just really makes sense. That's why I like him.
I actually remember this scene between Daredevil and Punisher. At least the exact words, as you said, right? You're going to beat them up, put them back in jail, and then they're going to be free again doing the exact same thing. And then Daredevil would argue that, what about hope? What about, you know, what about chance? Giving them a chance.
They had their chance. They had their chance the first few times they were sent to jail.
Yeah.
They had. My brother was actually surprised of how I viewed things and how I agreed with Jason Todd. And then he questioned me at one point, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I don't know. It just speaks to me.
Just thinking about it, they have the same philosophy as the Punisher, right? Like almost the same.
Yeah.
Almost the same. But I don't know what triggered it though. Like, is it after he got killed, knowing that he just suddenly survived, knowing that he got killed by the Joker, and then he realized that Batman forgot about him?
Jason Todd, even before he was killed, he's always been in a more, he was always in a more brutal side of things. The initial introduction of Jason Todd was he was basically a carbon copy of Dick Grayson, the first Boy Wonder. People didn't like that, so there were a number of haters for Jason Todd. So eventually DC wrote him differently, and then he became this more brutal sidekick by comparison. And then after he was killed and then brought back to life, we're not sure if the Lazarus Pit made him worse or it just simply brought out like the truer version of Jason Todd, which is an even more brutal version.
Because I'm confused, there was like a game, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but like a trailer, di ko alam kung nakita mo na rin daw, Francis, this game
is
about
the
Bat family series? Bat family, like Batman is dead and then the Robins and Batwoman or Batgirl suddenly taking down
Gotham
animals.
I think the game is called Gotham, upcoming game.
Yeah, and then on that Bat family, the Batman tendency, Jason Todd. And then I kind of wondered how he's with them, knowing that if I'm going to take that logic from the animated film when he suddenly left, presuming he was dead, diba parang in bad terms sila ni Bruce because they suddenly had a misunderstanding and, you know, forcing Batman to kill Joker in front of him. So I kind of wondered why he's working with them again, still wearing the red helmet.
In the game, like the Arkham series, I can't remember how it went. But in the comics, Batman and Jason, they've been settling their, well, I wouldn't say they've been settling their differences. They've been kind of connecting better recently, and it got to the point where Jason's been working with the Bat family more frequently. That started to happen post New 52. That's why in the recent costumes for Red Hood, we would see a red Bat symbol on his costume.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, but since we're talking about Jason Todd or Red Hood, I'm not sure if you guys know, or I'm not sure if Ken knows this, but fun fact lang, the 1988 issue of Death in the Family, do you know yung pagkamatay mismo ni Jason Todd was by a vote?
Yeah,
it was by vote. It wasn't the writers. It was actually a decision made by fans to kill him off.
Remember how I mentioned that there were haters for Jason Todd?
Yeah.
Those were them. They hated how he was a carbon copy of Dick Grayson so much that even though they changed Jason's backstory, like eventually changed it, they still hated him to the point that when there was an option for them to get rid of him, they took it.
Yeah, it's interesting that a critical story and a character, like in even Death, right? Was from fans.
So wait, they're the ones who actually chose that he should die, or the way he was actually killed, like also involved?
Namatay talaga siya kung
the whole concept of killing and getting rid of the character, the fans chose that.
Damn.
Because DC presented them the option.
Okay.
Are the fans gonna want to get rid of Jason Todd? Yes or no?
And then there's an option on how he should get killed.
I'm not sure how the voting exactly happened, but the fans basically had the choice.
But if you were in their shoes,
it was a close voting, right? I think
close voting.
less than 100 yung difference.
But if you guys if you guys were given the option, would you say yes or no?
Well, with knowing what would have come afterwards, afterwards, I would have voted yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same
answer. Because if not for Jason's death, that was a huge moment in Bruce's life. It was actually defining, even because he took Jason's death basically to his grave. I mean, Batman is still alive, but he's basically taking it to the grave. Like, he's making it his mission for it to never happen again.
Mm-hmm. Now, since we're talking about him, before we moved on from this topic, I have another question for you guys. The very concept of Joker in Batman pala. We know what he could have done if he killed Lois, right? We have injustice because of him. And there's also a storyline where he spreaded gas and made all the people of Gotham have this, you know, Joker-like faces and turn crazy. I don't know, like maybe they're choking to death while laughing for some reason. So my question is, logical ba for Bruce Wayne to still hold back after everything that he did? Is Bruce Wayne really just trying to be a hero? Like what people actually knows about him? Pero like, is there a flaw? Do you think it's a flaw for him not to kill the Joker? Ano sa tingin niyo?
Anyone asking me this question, knowing that I'm a Red Hood fan, my answer is Batman's, for me, he's just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I side with Jason Todd for a reason, because bad guys has to be put down. Like, I don't care about one's own morality. If you cross that line, there's no turning back. I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is the end result. Look how much damage the Joker's caused. Because he's still alive. But the Joker's been caught numerous times. He's been stopped numerous times. Legit, no one can count how many times. I mean, I doubt that even DC themselves know unless they manually count it. But still, he's out there hurting more people. So how is it logical at all to not just get rid of him?
What about you, Francis?
Can we call Batman morally ambiguous?
Okay.
I mean, is it a yes or no?
What do you think?
I think this is why we need the Killing Joke. I think it expounds on their relationship on why I think the Batman, why Batman holds back on killing the Joker. I think that's why we need the movie. But yeah, di ko rin masagot yung tanong mo.
Because knowing this fact, does that prove that Batman is morally better than Superman? Because we know that when Superman got triggered when Lois Lane was killed, he immediately went to that that room where he literally punched the Joker's chest.
I wouldn't necessarily say that Batman is morally better than Superman simply because of that. Mm-hmm. We have to factor in a few other things. For one thing, Batman himself has admitted that Superman is much more human than himself.
Okay.
You also have to consider that Batman isn't necessarily in the best of mental state. I mean, he is sane, but he's not necessarily psychologically healthy. Like everyone knows this. Everyone who at least has a decent knowledge about the Batman knows that he's not psychologically healthy despite being sane because of all the traumas that he's gone through, losing his parents at such a young age. Closing himself and then losing Jason. Like, Jason was legit a son to him, more so than Dick Grayson, his first Robin. And for someone to be psychologically questionable and who sees himself less human than an alien that is Superman, you have to question how the effect of their loved ones being taken from them is. How they'll receive it. So Superman being quoted as more human than himself, you have to then wonder, if my loved one was killed, how would I respond to that versus someone who is psychologically damaged? So maybe Superman is on a higher morality than Batman, but because Batman is psychologically damaged, it prevents him from responding like a normal human being. That's a possibility. That's why I don't think you, it's a simple yes or no. Batman is morally better than Superman.
Yeah, and I think that's their. I think that's the whole relationship between Clark and his parents, right? I think they taught him how to be a good person despite being a god. They taught him how to be human despite being a god, diba?
Yeah. I just kind of thought about it, knowing that, you know, what Superman is capable of once he was put to this tipping point when all of a sudden his love of his life was killed. Laro na siya pa yung mismong pumatay, di ba? Like, imagine that tremendous anger that he was tricked, that he was fighting Doomsday, when in fact it was Lois, pregnant Lois, and then she died in space, right?
Yeah, if you consider it's kind of a human response. It's just that it's how he behaved was more exaggerated because he's Superman.
Yeah, it's out of character.
So in a question of morality, it's not a simple yes or no.
Yeah. I guess I need to watch The Killing Joke once more to really understand why he decided to not kill the Joker. Because at this point, everyone's been telling him to kill the Joker already. Like, even though he's not that powerful in terms of abilities, we all know that he's unpredictable. And we all know that he's capable of a lot of things.
To be fair, Alan Moore made the ending ambiguous, so no one really knows if he really did kill or didn't kill the Joker at the end.
I mean, Batman admitted that he wants to kill Joker, but he just can't cross that line. And it's because he has that mental block, that inability for him to cross that line. That's precisely why I consider the psychological factor that prevents him from crossing said line. That's why he's not necessarily morally better just because of that. I mean,
it only takes one bad day for someone to lose it all, right?
Yeah. That's honestly a really good line.
All right. So let's go ahead and try to wrap this up. Actually, I enjoyed this conversation because we were able to discuss more about the characters. So, actually, even discussing Batman, Batman himself is already a topic that we can discuss for, you know, who knows, for how many hours long. Do you guys have any idea who will be the next baddie or what will be the next event for Spider-Man? Like, naniniwala ba kayo na nandyan si Andrew Garfield or si Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, it would be a big disappointment if they didn't show up, right?
Yeah. But what do you think?
Especially after all the things that's already been circulating. Yeah, it would honestly be disappointing that if they don't show up. As for a villain, considering what happened in the comics, I don't think it's going to be a villain that most of the people who's ever watched any Spider-Man film would be familiar with. If they're going to be basing it strongly from the comics, then I don't think it's going to be a familiar face.
But please, sana hindi siya, no? Who's this bald guy from Daredevil? The big baddie, Kingpin. The way did with the same way they did with the multiverse, the animation one. Sana wag yun.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
for something that would bring in Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, it has to be a very spectacular
Wilson Fisk, no? Just throwing throwing punches on the three. I don't even think he has superpowers. He's just really big.
No.
You know.
It's just abnormally strong for a human.
Yeah.
Episode is going to be one of the longest ones.
I really enjoyed this talk really, because it's really rare for us to have this type of discussion, especially with someone like you, Sherwin. But on the last time that we talked about comic book heroes was Dale, which was our previous guest on this podcast. But hopefully we can have you again soon on WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm actually looking forward to that, knowing that Disney has so much to offer these days. By the way, before we end this episode, just wanted to point this out that we're still number 10. Number 10 in Spotify Arts and Entertainment. Nakakatuwa kasi we just started this podcast since 2019. Tapos nag-resume lang ulit kami ng 2020 because of the pandemic. And up until then, you know, may nakakapansin naman. So which I am thankful for. And maraming salamat dun sa mga nakikinig. And maraming salamat din, lalo na sa mga nagiging guest. And ikaw rin, Sherwin. So thank you so much for being part of our little podcast. So, ayun. Anyway, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like nyo pala yung Facebook page namin, Instagram, Tagapasig Podcast. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me and enjoy.